Hello, everyone. My name is Nick Gregory, and I'm CEO and founder of the Wealth Engineering family of companies. And I'll be hosting today's PowerCast as the latest addition to our Wealth Engineering Fusion Power series. Now, we'll be taking a Reader's Digest approach to a very expansive topic as we discuss re-engineering your technology wealth stack to scale up your practice. Our special guest today is Verity Larson, CEO, co-founder, and principal consultant of Versoft Consulting. Versoft is an exclusive expert sourcing partner of the Wealth Engineering Hub. So let me start out by asking you, Verity, your background, along with the dynamics of your firm's approach to engineering such a robust technology consulting platform for the wealth advisory community.
Yeah, well, thank you. I'm pleased to be here. Thanks for having me. So, you know, my foundation in this industry started 25 plus years ago. I was working at an RIA in their IT department, and that's really where I established my foundation. And after years in that role, being that main support person throughout the organization as far as the technology being used, and seeing the struggles, the operational challenges that people had, I wanted to do more and be exposed to more other, I guess, other users, other ways of doing things. And I ended up going and working for Advent Software, who's now owned by SS&C. And that really gave me that exposure to a lot more types of firms, different asset managers, wealth managers, and even some trust companies and the like, as far as different ways of utilizing their software, different ways of doing things. And yet, even with that experience, I also still felt I was pigeonholed because I could only work with one specific technology platform. And really what I wanted to do, and the reason I founded Versoft, was to be more agnostic in the different technology platforms. There's so many solutions out there, and we really wanted to be there working in our clients' best interest, right? We are being hired and paid by the advisors and the family offices that are hiring us. And it is our job to represent them and make sure that, you know, the right technology and the efficient operations that they need are being executed on. So that was really the reason for me wanting to, you know, build this company. You know, we're now 10 years in, and it's been very rewarding, right? It's very fulfilling to be able to meet those needs for our clients.
Hey, that's great. And we're so excited to have you on board as an exclusive expert sourcing partner of ours, because we've been in search of for quite some time. How do we merge what my organization does, high touch wealth advisory? How do we fuse that with high touch wealth tech? And you certainly fit the bill relevant to all of your experience, your capabilities, and the manner in which you approach business. We really appreciate that.
Thank you.
As you mentioned, you know, there are what, 300 plus various pieces of technology and solutions and or solutions that advisors look at or exposed to. And a lot of that winds up, I call it the junk drawer of the firm, where they bought it, they couldn't figure out how to use it, didn't work properly, all the above. And when I'm talking to advisors, this comes up. How do we scale our business, Nick? How do we take advantage of all this fresh stuff out there? What would be best for us? And
right,
the excitement is having your firm being part of our team now and cut away the Rubik's Cube approach to things and maybe clean the junk drawer up in these firms, and maybe cut away that spider web thought process that we all have of what a mess. Sort this out for us, Verity.
Absolutely. Well, and in those situations, you also have users spending more money than they even should be. So ideally, you know, through our evaluation, we can even identify cost savings, because there's likely things out there that you don't even realize that you're paying a month over month subscription for something, or new features have been added to another core technology platform that was previously an add-on that you had to pay extra for through another provider, right? So there's likely ways to reduce the number of applications and platforms that you're using. So it's, ideally saving you some money as well over the long term.
Yeah, how do you again sort all that stuff out? It's frustrating. And when I'll be working on a family office case or whatever it may be with an advisor or the CEO founder of the firm, and many times it evolves into discussions like this, where, Nick, where do I go? And I, for several years I've been saying, well, I'm in search of, and when I find it, I'll let you know. And so we're excited about this relationship. So can you talk about, how your pricing structure works and how you approach, how if an advisory firm approaches you, how do you kind of get a feel for their needs and how you approach it from a fee structure and so on? Can you
Yeah,
walk us through that?
certainly. So a lot of our clients start by coming to us typically with a problem, right? And a lot of the work that we end up doing can be project-based. We do also offer retainer type of engagements, but a lot of times our relationship, we want to start just working on a single project. It's a way for the client, in this case the advisor, to get an experience working with us, see, make sure that they enjoy and get, a good outcome before they actually commit to anything long term with us. So those projects typically start by what we like to either call, sometimes it's a business process review or technology evaluation. It simply is a way for us to have one-on-one interviews with different users across the organization and get to understand their business. What are their, main goals? How has their company gotten to the stage that they're at? What has their growth been like recently? What's their growth strategy, even looking into the future? Because we don't want to be problem solving just for today. This is also about the next 3, 5, maybe even 10 years. So really doing some due diligence to get to know this firm and their current operations, the current technology that they're using, all of that encompassing. And then from there, we're either giving recommendations for just improvements to their current solutions. So, not necessarily replacing anything in their technology stack, but it might just be adding some automation or building some better integration between applications. So, there's not as much duplicate data entry or things like that. Sometimes it can be kind of restructuring the way that the application is being used. For example, in a CRM, maybe the way that they're using their CRM is just not very intuitive, nor helpful. It might be really hard to get at the valuable information about a client in your CRM. So sometimes it's just kind of reworking the current systems that you have. So we'll give recommendations around how to, make those improvements and build out a plan for executing on that. And then, of course, the thing I like to express is we're not here just to give recommendations, turn over a piece of paper, and then walk away and say good luck, right? This is also about execution. And that's one thing that we really pride ourselves on, is really getting into the nitty-gritty, work, hands on the keyboard, and actually making sure that things that we are recommending actually get implemented. And so whether that's working with your team to give them guidance and instruction and education on how to do the work yourselves, or if you want to have us actually do the work to make sure that those improvements actually get implemented. So that's usually how we're getting to know the firm is through those one-on-one interviews and, kind of that due diligence to better understand their business first. And then once we really understand your business, then of course there's opportunities for a long-term relationship. And of course, that's what we want. We want you to consider us as you are a trusted advisor to your clients as you're managing their assets. We want you to see us as your trusted advisor in all things technology and operations.
Yeah, that's what we're excited about. We can offset this instead of having these conversations with a CEO founder, and we both agree neither one of us have a clue. So how do we find a source of truth relevant to? So you can you're open to providing an initial brainstorming session or an assessment of, gee, where are you now? What are you attempting to achieve? How would you like to approach this? And then add guidance initially, and then maybe zero in on a project and fee structure and so on.
Correct.
That
Yep.
assessment that they need for. Yeah.
Exactly. And to give a little bit more clarity, we tend to base all of our work based on, our hourly fee, which of course, can vary. Honestly, like we have a starting point, but we also are willing to give discounts based on, length of project, or even, those retainer-based options. But all of the work that we do and the way that we even price our existing projects is based on that hourly fee. So whether we're establishing a flat rate for a project or it's a not to exceed dollar amount, we always want to make sure that you have transparency into what it's going to cost. And and I would add, we work with firms that are literally one person shops, right? And they're just managing, maybe 100 million AUM. And we also work with firms that are managing close to $1 trillion and have thousands of employees. So, we're not biased in who we work for. And we certainly want to accommodate and make sure that everybody is able to get the assistance that is needed because, you're not expected to be a technology expert. That's who we are, and that's what we do. And we're here to stay up on top of all of the latest and greatest and be that resource for you.
Okay, so regardless of size, it could be several thousand, a multi-billion dollar firm or a very small ensemble operation, and you can bring in various services of consulting, implementation and training, project management, and then those days when the M&A thing the merger acquisition gets completed and the spin-offs occur, and then everybody's got to figure out how to sort out all that technology, right? All the disconnects. I think you've gotten pretty
Absolutely.
good at that. Yeah.
Yes. We've definitely done a lot of work in that M&A space, working with some of the aggregators that are out there as they are acquiring other firms and helping consolidate technology, doing data conversions, data validation. We do a lot of work in the data space. And I think that that's also another distinction for us. Like I said, we like to get our hands dirty and get in the weeds. So part of our staff also includes a custom solutions team. And so they get involved in a lot of transaction and performance conversions and validation work. So, in the M&A space, think about, you have a firm that gets acquired, they're on, say, Orion, and the other firm is on Black Diamond, and now you need to convert your data from Orion to Black Diamond. And what does that look like? Maybe the vendor is going to do the conversion, but there still is validation that the conversion was done correctly that needs to happen. And then there's also the transition of workflows that need to happen from one firm to another. Sometimes an acquisition occurs too because the acquiring firm doesn't even offer the services that are being provided by the acquired firm. For example, maybe they don't really get into estate planning, but the firm that they're acquiring, that's their specialty, right? So there could actually be add-on technology that now needs to get integrated with that acquiring firm's existing tech stack. And so we help with, kind of fitting all these pieces together, fitting the workflows together, getting the data aligned, and then making sure that the transition for users, goes as smooth as possible.
Yeah. Okay. And then again, you have the ability to custom design applications, so you
we
go
do.
As deep and drill down as deeply. And I think Matt has that up for you.
Correct. Yep. So Matt heads up our custom solutions team, and he also has been in the industry for something like 18 years or so. So this is, and practice probably even longer than that, honestly, if I were to pull up a calendar. But he has lots of experience in actually building applications, building lots of custom integration, working with lots of the APIs that, everybody touts their different software to have, but nobody ever knows how to actually connect with an API. So we do a lot of development there. But then also along the lines of data archiving, data warehousing, we actually are in conversations right now with an existing client where we're talking more around their data strategy, and even the fact that they need a new and improved CRM. And the problem, of course, with data for a lot of people is it's very disparate. It's all over the place. And as you're now also getting into people talking about AI all the time, AI relies on data. And if your data is garbage, then your AI results, as you're querying and looking for information or using AI to probe and generate reports or whatever it is that you're doing, if your data is garbage, your results through that AI agent or whatever it is going to be garbage. So making sure you have a proper data strategy and know where your data exists, how to maintain it to ensure that it, stays clean, and, just making sure you have that solid foundation is really critical at this stage. And so Matt and his team help a great deal with that.
Matt Brayman, is that Matt's last name? Brayman.
Correct. Yeah. Matt Brayman. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And so as far as data is concerned, and we issues come up where we're using a certain vendor and I think we're going to give up the ownership of our data. How do we protect all that? Is it those, I assume those are issues that come up with you.
They are.
Yeah.
Yep. And of course, when we're even going through a technology selection process with clients and helping them identify what technology to use, going through RFPs and things like that with vendors, one of the most critical things is understanding ownership of data. Who owns that data? How do you obtain your data? Should you ever want to leave that vendor?
Yeah.
Is there a cost associated with it? What's the format of the data? Will it actually be usable? It's interesting. I think that one thing a lot of people probably haven't even considered as they're going and considering the use of all these different AI note takers. In many cases, people just are keeping a lot of those notes in that native platform. They may not even have it integrated or being copied or saved into their CRM or some other data source. And if you're solely reliant on going to that specific note taker's application to obtain your information, what happens if you decide to change your note taker, or that workflow manager? Because I can tell you that I do expect that that will happen quite a bit in the future. There are so many options out there, and all these competitors are not going to be able to stay long term. There will be consolidation. There will be, companies that go out of business. So what happens to all of those notes, all those recordings that have happened, if you don't have them saved elsewhere?
Yeah, and what happens, there's one major note taker, if you will. I can't stand that terminology, but they're sitting on a third-party platform in the first place. So what happens there?
Right.
How's that all get connected and disconnected? And The honeymoon's always fun, but what about the divorce?
Exactly. And you always have to be
Sometimes we
thinking
don't.
about that. We don't like thinking about the divorce, but you have to plan for that. That is proper business planning. That is proper, technology planning.
Yeah, and I mean, our wish list is that why can't we build out a central nervous system for an organization whereby, the CRM and the note taker are already deeply connected or they're part of the same? And why can't that all be together? And so, of course, you're going to be helping us with that. Of course, that's quote, the definition of central nervous system varies by RIA because they're, you meet one RIA, you've met one. With the
Exactly.
2,150 plus firms we work with, they all have twists and turns. So the dilemma of
Yes.
so many software platforms, quote unquote, to deal with and select from, and what are the real features, which may and they may have some interesting features on their website, but they may not have all been finalized. There may be some black holes there that sometimes they forget to tell us about. So
Absolutely.
we're going to be leaning on you a lot, relevant too.
Yeah. Well, and those vendors are really good at showing you all the fancy bells and whistles, but in many cases, those bells and whistles are not relevant to your business needs. So it can look great, in a sales demo, but what's the actual use case for your business? And those are the things that we like to address, make sure that we're pulling the curtain back, and make sure that you're not being dazzled, by something that is actually unusable for your firm.
Shiny objects. Yeah, so you do a
Shiny
vendor,
object syndrome. Yep.
do a vendor evaluation and assist in the selection then, which is great. That's part of your service. Now, from a project management standpoint, can you give some examples of what projects you might get involved with a larger firm?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Always.
Yeah, we have a few clients that have hired us solely in the project management position. So we were not involved in, any other aspect of their either technology selection, the conversion, implementation. All we are doing is working as an extension of their team as the project manager for a specific engagement. A couple examples. We had one client, I should say they're still an existing client, but a couple years ago, they had decided that they were going to move from one portfolio accounting and trading platform to an entirely new suite of products. And this was going to be probably a good year-long project for them to make this transition. And of course, it involved dozens of people. The vendor, of course, was responsible for making this happen, but they hired us to oversee and make sure that the vendor was meeting their dates and deadlines. We actually owned the project plan, managed the budget, made sure that they were, meeting certain deadlines. Everybody was being accountable. We hosted all of the project meetings. And then also provided, more of the upper management, executive level budget summaries, sponsor meetings, and different reports that were necessary, dashboards and whatnot, to report the status of the project along the way. So that project was one that we were working probably about 80 hours a month for a client through the duration of that implementation project. And it was simply in the project management role. And that was for a fairly large organization. We also have had another company where they acquired another company. And in this case, it was actually a trust company. And one trust company acquired another trust company. And again, they were relying on the vendors to help with a lot of the heavy lifting for, as the business analyst role and, implementation and data conversion and things like that. But again, we were responsible for just the overseeing of the project plan, budget tracking, et cetera, et cetera. And again, that was I think it was a 60 hour a month implementation project, project management project that we did. And actually that one is still ongoing and will likely be happening through the end of the year. But then we do also have other clients where on the project management side, projects are a lot smaller. And, there's some where we're simply putting in, somewhere maybe between 10 and 15 hours a month. Again, just overseeing the project, making sure things stay on track, holding the vendor accountable, but also being that liaison between the vendor and the client to also hold the client, which in this case is the advisor, or the wealth manager, accountable to their responsibilities. What exactly do they need to do? Information that might need to be delivered from them to the vendor in order for the vendor to make progress on the project. So we're there as, that additional resource, because of course we know when going through transitions like this, different projects, everybody has their day job, right? So all of these firms, these RIAs, these trust companies, the asset managers, whoever they are, they got their day-to-day business. They got clients to serve. They got needs and meetings to have without even worrying about this technology implementation that's going on the side. So just making sure that people are being held accountable, that they are still hitting their deadlines, because the faster the project can go, the better it is for everybody, right? The longer it drags out, there ends up being project fatigue. Sometimes you can even deal with changing resources. The people turn over, there's people that come and go from projects, and that also can set things behind. And then you're dealing with increased costs, So anything we can do to make the project go smoother and, in as little time as possible is ideal.
Yeah, and the more efficient and effective you help them become, the more they want to work with you. And long term, that's the name of the game, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's ideal.
And my understanding is that you don't outsource to third parties. You do everything in-house, so you do have control over it. And you have layers of expertise within your firm. And correct
that
me if I'm
correct.
Wrong, the rate per hour or the project cost itself may vary by complexity, because you can bring in Matt or in other projects that may not be as technically intensive, if you will.
Right. Yep. And, I think that that's another thing we pride ourselves on. My entire team are all full-time employees. These are not contractors that work for us, and we do work very closely together. On any project, we have at least two resources that are always engaged in a project, no matter how big or small it is, simply because we want to make sure that there's coverage, there's backup. If somebody needs to take vacation or somebody's out sick, we don't want that to impede progress, or affect negatively the experience that our clients have working with us. We want to make sure that, they see us as an extension of their team. And it's not just with the one person that they work with all the time. It's actually our entire team.
Okay, great. Now you're located in Portland. And then I know Nathan, your director of sales and marketing, is in New Jersey.
Correct.
So you're spread out. So geographics isn't an issue in working with any of our firms relevant to. You're used to that.
We yeah. are used to that. Yep. We have people all over the country. All of us work remotely. So my solutions guys are in Nashville, Tennessee. Got a consultant. Our consulting manager is actually in Michigan. Got another consultant in Portland, Maine. So we're covering both Portlands on the coast. Project management.
That's right. You're
yep.
crossing the time zones, Portland
we
to
are.
Portland.
Exactly. We cross the time zones. And for what it's worth, we are also working with clients, not just in the US, but also in Canada. So we're,
Okay.
at least in North America, we haven't branched down into Mexico or further south yet, but I know that there's been inquiries before, but needless to say, there's plenty of business here and even in the States. So I'm
Oh,
not in
yeah.
any rush to expand.
Yeah, but there's a lot going on in Montreal and Vancouver relevant to new technology evolving and so on.
Definitely. Yeah. And
Interesting.
honestly, there's a lot of Canadian tech companies that have been surfacing in recent years, and they are also now trying to expand into the US
Yes,
marketplace
and
and trying to
several are
find
talking
more
to us about
business.
that as to how it might. Yeah, and they have some pretty profound platforms from
Yep,
wealth
definitely.
management and not just investment management, but all the other things that we get involved in, the tax planning, asset protection, estate planning, plan giving, and whatnot. But and we want to add that to your evaluation of who they are and what they do, and are they really doing what Nick that convinces himself that they are? Because I'm not a tech guy, so
Yes.
how do we really sort that out? So Verity, we've covered a lot of territory. Any final thoughts relevant to our audience, if you will?
I guess my last comment is just, always happy to have conversations with people. We're not here as a heavy sales organization, right? We are truly consultative and we want to listen to your problems and hear about your challenges and give you, real world solutions. So always happy to have, some calls to so you can get to know us, we can get to know you a little bit and see if there's synergies. But, just say give us a call. We're happy to always, just see if there's mutual synergies between our organizations and share how we can help.
Okay, great. I'm excited about instead of having these one-on-one conversations with a CEO founder of a firm and neither one of us know what we're talking about, I get to say, well, let me get a three-way set up with Verity and she'll straighten us out. She'll get specific and can zero in on your scaling issues because Nick's not going to help. All I'm going to do is, yep, sure enough, that's a problem. Good luck.
I
Okay.
love to help with that.
Yeah,
Yes.
okay. We'll have some fun with that. And then, of course, we have our conference coming up, and we'll be scheduling another podcast with you to get a little bit more specific and so on. Or both conferences coming up the end of April and then the end of September this year. And
Look
for
forward
those
to
that are
it.
curious, you can always go to our website and check out the details and agenda and so on of our conferences. So, in conclusion, I hope you gain more insight into how you can utilize our wealth engineering hub and the other entities that make up my family of companies in conjunction with Verity and Versoft and the rest of our expert sourcing team to gain more success and control within the wealth management arena. Now, you can access Verity and Versoft by visiting their website at versoftconsulting.com. Now, that's Versoft is Versoft consulting.com. And Verity's director of sales and marketing is Nathan Harvey. And his email address is nathan@versoftconsulting.com. And that's NATHAN. Now, the main site for my family of companies is mywehub.com. And my main email address is NICK. At mywehub.com. Again, thank you, Verity, for participating in our PowerCast, and thanks to all of those listening in. Have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you.